lips to groan in disgust. Vin watched closely despite the stomach-wrenching sight. She felt like she was on the verge of understanding something very important. Human reached down and pulled something out of the Koloss corpse.
Wait, Vin said, stepping forward. What was that?
Human ignored her. He pulled out something else, and this time Vin caught a flash of bloodied metal. She followed his fingers as he moved, and this time saw the item before he pulled it free and hid it in his palm. A spike. A small metal spike driven into the side of the dead Koloss. There was a rip of blue skin beside the spike head, as if the spikes were holding the skin in place, Vin thought. Like nails holding cloth to a wall. Spikes. Spikes like... Human retrieved a fourth spike, then stepped forward into the tent. Surgeons and soldiers moved back in fear, crying out for Vin to do something as Human approached the bed of a wounded soldier. Human looked from one unconscious man to another, then reached for one of them.
Stop!
Vin commanded in her mind. Human froze in place. Only then did the complete horror of what was happening occur to her.
Lord Ruler, she whispered. You were going to turn them into Koloss, weren't you? That's where you come from. That's why there are no Koloss children.
I am human, the large beast said quietly.
Hemallergy can be used to steal allomantic or ferrochemical powers and give them to another person. However, a hemallergic spike can also be created by killing a normal person, one who is neither an allomancer nor a ferrochemist. In that case, the spike instead steals the very power of preservation existing within the soul of the people. The power that, in fact, gives all people sentience. A hemallergic spike can extract this power, then transfer it to another, granting them residual abilities similar to those of allomancy. After all, preservation's body, a tiny trace of which is carried by every human being, is the very same essence that fuels allomancy. And so a chondra, granted the blessing of potency, is actually acquiring a bit of innate strength similar to that of burning pewter. The blessing of presence grants mental capacity in a similar way, while the blessing of awareness is the ability to sense with greater acuity. And the rarely used blessing of stability grants emotional fortitude.
38. Sometimes Spook forgot the mist was even there. It had become such a pale, translucent thing to him, nearly invisible. Stars in the sky blazed like a million limelights shining down on him. It was a beauty only he could see. He turned, looking across the burned remains of the building. Ska workers carefully sifted through the mess. It was hard for Spook to remember that they couldn't see well in the night's darkness. He had to keep them packed closely together, working as much by touch as by sight. The scent was, of course, terrible, yet burning pewter seemed to help mitigate that. Perhaps the strength it gave him extended to his ability to avoid unintentional reactions, such as retching or coughing. During his youth, he had wondered about the pairing of tin and pewter. Other allomantic pairs were opposites. Steel pushed on metals, iron pulled on them. Copper hid allomancers, bronze revealed allomancers. Zinc inflamed emotions, brass depressed them. Yet tin and pewter didn't seem opposites. One enhanced the body, the other the senses. And yet these were opposites. Tin made his sense of touch so sharp that each step had once been uncomfortable. Pewter enhanced his body, making it resistant to pain. And so as he picked his way across the blackened ruin, his feet didn't hurt as much. In a similar way, where light had once blinded him, pewter let him endure far more before needing his blindfold. The two were opposites, yet complements, just like the other pairs of allomantic metals. He felt right having the one to go with the other. How had he survived without Pewter? He had been a man with only one half of an ability. Now he was complete. And yet he did wonder what it would be like to have the other powers, too. Kelsier had given him Pewter. Could he perhaps bless Spook with iron and steel as well? A man directed the line of working figures. His name was Franson. He was the one who had asked Spook to rescue his sister. The execution was only a day away. Soon the child would be thrown into a burning building of her own, but Spook was working on ways to stop that. There wasn't much he could do at the moment. So, in the meantime, Franson and his men dug. It had been some time since Spook had gone to spy on the citizen and his counselors. He'd shared the information he'd gleaned with Sazed and Breeze, and they'd seemed appreciative. However, with the increased security around the citizen's home, they'd suggested that it was foolhardy to risk more spying until they'd figured out their plans for the city. Spook had accepted their guidance, though he felt himself growing anxious. He missed going to see Beldra, the quiet girl with the lonely eyes. He didn't know her. He couldn't fool himself that he did. Yet when they'd met and spoken that once, she hadn't screamed or betrayed him. She'd seemed intrigued by him. That was a good sign, right? Fool, he thought. She's the citizen's own sister. Talking to her nearly got you killed. Focus on the task at hand. Spook watched the work for a time longer. Finally, Franson, dirty and exhausted in the starlight, approached him. My lord, Franson said, we've gone over this section 4 times now. The men in the basement pit have moved all the debris and ash to the sides and have sifted through it twice. Whatever we were going to find, we've found it. Spook nodded. Franson was probably right. Spook removed a small pouch from his pocket, handing it to Franson. It clinked, and the large ska man raised an eyebrow. Payment, Spook said, for the other men. They've worked here for 3 nights. They're friends, my lord, he said. They just want to see my sister rescued. Pay them anyway, Spook said, and tell them to spend the coins on food and supplies as soon as they can, before Quellian abolishes coinage in the city. Yes, my lord, Franson said. Then, he glanced to the side,